go. Hour number three. Monday, Wednesday, Friday here with you each week to bring you the most important information we can put together and assemble in an hour to help you make your way through this bioweapon nightmare that we're all involved with one way or another. All right, my partner is standing by, hopefully sitting by comfortably somewhere. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm sitting.
That's a good place to be. Yeah, she used to stand throughout the programs, and I finally had to tell her it's okay
right.
to sit down. It was
the walking desk.
It wasn't a standing, it was the saluting that bothered me.
I don't think you could accuse me of that.
I'm just having fun. Got to make this girl laugh once in a while. It's crazy out there. Let me do just a couple quick interesting news headlines for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do the whole story, but we all know that the cost of food is going up, up, and up. And yes, big food is marking up prices again and again. Never mind their gigantic profits and shareholder handouts. They are marking up prices. So it is not simply a supply and demand thing. Greed. Okay? And we talked about PFAS the other day, PFAS, and they're now telling us that the rain can cause cancer because it has PFAS in it. Well, it probably could, but not many of us are out there collecting rainwater and drinking it. The Ukrainian, I call them Ukes, the Uke Defense Ministry is now threatening to bomb Russian civilians in Crimea. That equals World War III. That's the biggest red line that Russia has ever drawn. That story just arrived. So, anyway, a lot of things that we cover at the site. You're always welcome, and hopefully you'll share the stories, send them around. That's what they're about. Okay, young lady. We have a lot to talk about here tonight, many things to cover. And I want to start out, I guess, with this. We could do a real quick monkeypox update, the absurdity of it. The homosexual community is now complaining that the vaccines don't work, and they're getting infected with monkeypox after getting their vaccinations. Well, we explained all that three programs ago, four, I don't remember. The vaccines, they're not applicable to monkeypox. That's not what we're dealing with here. So they don't want to change in any way their lifestyle. So now they're bitching about the vaccines not working. It's actually kind of funny when you think about it. Now, here's the other monkeypox story that is pretty disgusting. Talk about woke. The World Health Organization is planning to rename monkeypox over stigmatization concerns. This is amazing. So the WHO says it's holding an open forum. That means you maybe can participate to rename the disease called monkeypox, after some critics raised concerns that the name could be derogatory or have racist connotations. You want to think about that for a while, dear friends? The WHO said the decision was made following a meeting, they have nothing better to do, of scientists this week, and is certainly in line with current best practices for naming diseases. It's a sweepstakes, which aims to avoid, quote, causing offense to any cultural, social, national, regional, professional, or ethnic groups, and to minimize any negative impact on trade, travel, tourism, or animal welfare. So they're going to call it the version of the disease formerly known as the Congo Basin or Eastern African strain, will now be known as Clade 1. And the West African strain, which had a 3% case fatality rate, will be known as Clade 2. And everybody's going to be real happy.
And how about lab-generated version?
Well, we're not supposed to know about that. Shh. Don't tell anybody. We got at least one or two other strains running loose. And, I guess it could... Clade 3, Clade 4, Clade 5. The bottom line is, the disease is just essentially not fatal. It's not a problem. It's a little disfiguring for a few weeks. Most people recover fine. And it's just more noise. And I don't know where they're going to go with it, but we'll see. We'll see. They're using the Jynneos version of the vax, and they're running out. They only had 5,000 doses left in the UK. And then they're going to switch to, drum roll, go ahead.
Well, the ACAM 2000, which is a live, fully replication-competent vaccinia virus, which will induce a real infection, which will be contagious if you come into contact with the injection. Well, it's not really an injection, but the scarification site on the arm.
That's where they tear up your skin.
And it's not recommended for people with immune deficiencies.
Like AIDS.
And
that's not to single out homosexuals, because everyone who's taken the shots has AIDS to one degree or another. Go ahead.
Yes, they have a faltering immune system at the very least, and who knows how bad it will be after, you know, another round of boosters, just another month, 2 months, 3 months of living with perpetual spike protein production.
Well, don't forget what Tony told us. You're not fully vaxxed unless you've had two boosters. Isn't that it?
Yeah, if you're not on dose 4 by now, you're considered unvaxxed, and you better catch up.
You're a danger to society.
But, you know, getting back to the monkeypox, it's worrisome, I guess, if the vaccine isn't working, then maybe it's not a vaccine. Or if whatever these people are suffering from that looks like monkeypox, maybe it isn't monkeypox. So there's some unanswered questions here. The question is, what's in the vaccine, the so-called vaccine? Maybe it has nothing to do with monkeypox.
I guess the easy answer is whatever they want to be in that so-called vaccine will be there. They're no longer forced to comply with any normal testing?
None.
Or trials?
There's no oversight, no accountability.
Do you all understand, you Americans especially, do you all understand that means your lives are considered essentially worth just throwing away? They don't care about you. You know who they are. I'm not going to go into that. They don't care about you.
I would suspect, though, this is a strategy to seed the next pandemic, whatever that's going to be. Some version of a pox virus that's highly contagious. You know, it won't be smallpox or monkeypox or vaccinia or something. It'll be something in that family that, you know, may be extremely problematic if it's airborne. You know, right now it's not. It's that you really do require close contact to spread it. But you've got a very promiscuous community now that's being injected with we don't know what.
What really bothers me as much as any of it is that it's just not a fatal disease over here, version that's running around. Bothers me the most, right, it wasn't. What bothers me is when I see the stories about the little children coming down with it.
Right.
And I wonder immediately, How close are the parents watching their children? It just really bothers me.
Well, and this is also making the case for, well, we've got to protect the children, get them a vaccine.
Well, yeah, let's inject them. They'll come up with
There's
some
only,
kind of
what, 30-something on the childhood vaccine schedule now. What's another one?
I think they're heading up to 70 in California. That's on the drawing board.
Yeah, it's obscene.
Well, they're killing people. There's no need for any of it. None of it. See, we had a chance. Turn of the last century, we moved forward. Rockefeller medicine, unfortunately, took over. Had medicine been allowed to track its own course, we probably would have been living to 100 now, in wonderful health, eating fabulous foods, with great immunological competence, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
No, what did we do? We poisoned medicine. We poisoned the food with uncountable chemicals that only aggregate and agglutinate in your body. It just is sick. It's organized genocide. And now we've stepped into essentially admitted genocide, not by them, but that's what we're in. We are in an extinction level potential right now, right today, right around the world. No joke. All right.
Yeah.
Enough on monkeypox. Now, Eric and I have been doing this for a year and a half plus, and I think we're well over 100 broadcasts. I don't know where, probably closing in on 150. And we have brought a lot of material that she has single-handedly, in many cases, dug up, assembled, put together, and we presented it here. And some many months ago, I don't know how many, she began to talk about, let's hold off on porphyrins. Let's do a shedding intro here.
Yeah, let's get back to what's being shed.
All right, here's the deal. A lot of people don't think shedding is real. That's fine. That's their prerogative. They don't have to, but it is quite real. And it is being looked at by people logically and intelligently as a real issue. When you go out among your polar opposite in terms of being vaxxed or unvaxxed, you are running risks, especially the unvaxxed. The bioweapon spike protein is undoubtedly being shed, both through exhalation or exhaled aerosols, however you want to look at it, and through skin contact, not to mention sexual relations. How many stories have we seen, you've seen more than I, of people writing in and said, well, I had sex with a vaccinated woman last weekend. Do you think I might be in trouble? And these people are just not thinking. And they're actually putting these questions up on social media forums and groups that talk about this all the time. You couldn't do anything much worse than that. Swapping body fluids with a vaxxed person is not smart. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had that one of those accounts where somebody knew of a male that had sexual relations with a female who was vaxxed, and he ended up in the hospital really sick. Really sick.
Yeah.
And then we had the story of the woman unvaxxed, I guess recently married. Her husband was vaxxed, and she came down with leukemia within a matter of weeks.
As in cancer?
You know, yes. Right. She succumbed to these bleeding issues, as so many women have. And, you know, within a month or so, she had a diagnosis of leukemia. So the shedding is real. You know, obviously there's variables as to how much is shed and what the effect is on the person receiving the spike and whatever else is being shed. There's, I would contend, more than just spike. We know there's a coding for other things in these shots.
Yeah.
So it's more than just spike. But whatever it is, it's toxic. I mean, it's toxic enough to kill dogs and cats, and in some cases, people. So it's a gamble.
And, yeah. It's very difficult to go up to someone and say, are you vaxxed or not, if you're interested in that person? But it's a question that must be put on the table for the safety of both people, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. It works both ways. The vaxxed have no immune function left in many cases, not much. And they don't want to be around somebody who's carrying a normal complement of pathogens. They just don't. You don't want that. And, another note here. people who are trying to take solace in the fact that there have been a number of injections given, a large number, when you take into account the whole panorama, of saline placebo injections. Okay, you might get lucky, and you might have gotten, your first one might have been a placebo. But if you've continued on and you have become fully vaxxed, or if you're not fully vaxxed and still have four shots, how lucky do you think you're going to be to have four placebo injections? I would submit that that's preposterous. The odds are so long against it. So I wouldn't take that and feel real confident.
Yeah, I mean,
about
if you're
it.
Still healthy, quit. Just don't take any more. And I, in some cases, I think people, they think they're okay, which is, of course, why they consent to having a fourth dose. And I've read more than one account now of that person seriously declining fast after the fourth shot, you know, with things like life-threatening blood clots. Yeah, that's the big thing, the blood clots. And then, you know, disseminated cancer.
They're calling it turbo cancer, super cancer, soft tissue cancer.
It's everywhere. Yeah. You know, so it, presumably it had started and the person didn't have many symptoms. And that is known to happen once in a while with cancer. You know, you can have it for years and do okay, mm-hmm. not even knowing that it's there. But then something happens and causes it to go crazy. And that seems to be what's happening. I mean, you start to mess with the immune system in unnatural ways.
Well, the other side of that issue is that somebody with a failed immune system won't react to normal pathogens, and they'll show no symptoms. And yet they'll be carrying them and be infested and sick, but they will not necessarily manifest any symptoms. That's
a
real tricky
innate,
one to consider.
That can happen. When the innate immune system is lazy or deficient in some way, you won't get the typical symptoms of having a cold or flu or whatever. It is just, you know, the pathogens just are able to get past that arm of the immune system and slip right in and do their thing.
So, just to reiterate, we do recommend masks, N95s, preferably made here. We think that little bit of extra protection is a wise idea, because many of these proteins, the spike, will end up getting stuck with some little micro water droplet or something and make it physically larger than it was, and it will get stuck, either through just water sticking to something, or the actual molecule with the spike protein attached to it, not able to get through the mesh of the mask. But we recommend masks. We recommend social distancing, whatever you want to call it. These things, by the way, were made up by Fauci and Debbie Birx. They admitted it. Debbie did. We made it up. Yeah, great. All right. Some months ago, and I don't remember how many, Erica came up with a very important term, which is not common to people, and yet it is a very intrinsically important and common thing in your body's blood, red blood cells especially, which have what in them, everyone? Hemoglobin. To do what? To carry oxygen to your cells. All right? Porphyrins. Porphyrins. Porphyrins are made in the liver and the bone marrow, and they actually create heme. There's an eight-step process in creating heme. That's part of hemoglobin. And these porphyrins are very critical in the creation of heme. Now, what else does heme do? Go ahead. That's your cue. Iron.
All right. So, yeah, most people are familiar with heme because it's part of hemoglobin, which is the molecule in your red blood cells that has an iron molecule or several iron molecules that enable your red blood cells to carry oxygen. So that's where most of your heme is, your red blood cells. But there's also other areas in your body where it's just as critical to have heme. And those are places like the myoglobin, which is a protein in your muscle cells that will store oxygen. You have something called cytochromes, which are critical for making energy and also for detoxification. You have something called catalases, which are critical for converting hydrogen peroxide into water and oxygen. So, you know, hydrogen peroxide can be somewhat damaging if it's not controlled. And then you have something called endothelial nitric oxide synthase, which will help your blood vessels relax. And, you know, if you don't have that, you will have high blood pressure. And heme peroxidases, which that's a molecule that will degrade the heme, because heme all by itself is extremely toxic. It will damage your liver, kidneys, various cell membranes. It's very, very toxic. So you need something to degrade it, which oddly enough also requires heme. So without heme, you're in trouble. It's not just that you're short of breath and your tissues aren't being supplied with oxygen. You've got issues with detoxification. You've got issues with the creation of energy. You've got issues relaxing your blood vessels. And you have a buildup of hydrogen peroxide. So without it, yeah, you're in a lot of trouble. And what we know, we've known this since the beginning of the pandemic when they began studying the characteristics of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And it became clear that if this thing got beyond the lungs and into the bloodstream, you began to see all kinds of problems relating to heme. And the first thing was that the heme would dissociate from the iron molecule. The iron would become free, and the heme would also become free and cause horrendous inflammation and oxidative stress, which went on to cause blood clotting.
It was kicked off the red blood cell.
Yes, yes. The spike protein destroys the beta chain on the hemoglobin molecule. So that releases the heme and the iron. And this is why people were struggling to breathe. Well, in addition to the lung injury itself, but then secondarily to that, it was the blood. The blood couldn't mm-hmm. carry oxygen, and the mm-hmm. blood became thick and clotting. And now it gets worse because not only is your heme being destroyed, but that same spike protein can go on and bind to porphyrins. Now, the porphyrins are the building blocks of heme. So if they're being bound up by the spike protein, they're not available to create the heme molecule. And a second thing happens when porphyrins begin to build up. You get this accumulation of porphyrins. That causes a condition known as porphyria, which can make you feel really lousy. So you've got kind of a catch-22. The heme's being destroyed, but it can't be resynthesized because there's blocks in the pathway to rebuild it. So what is probably happening with people who are being spiked? They're getting this spike into their bloodstream, and if you notice, many people will complain of feeling tired as one of the first symptoms of being spiked. And that's evidence that the heme is being attacked by the spike. It's dissociating from the red blood cell. And, you know, you're short of breath. Second to that, many people complain of muscle aches or muscle weakness. Again, that's a deficiency of heme.
Oxygen.
Sometimes some oxygen, yeah. And with the buildup of porphyrins, they can do a lot of damage to nerve tissue. So many cases of porphyria involve nerve pain, headaches, cognitive issues.
So the porphyrins can damage your neurology?
Yes. Yes.
What's in it for the porphyrins to do that? Why would they do that? Why would they like?
They're just certain ones are just neurotoxic.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
So if you look at the symptoms of shedding, they are very suggestive of a type of porphyria and or a heme poisoning. And so how do you treat it? Good question. Critical is reducing your exposure to the spike so you don't keep acquiring more and more of it to do more and more damage. But a typical bout of porphyria is generally a genetic condition. You inherit a deficiency of one or more enzymes that are required to build the heme. It can take 4 weeks to recover from a bout of porphyria. And there's different treatments for it depending on what's causing the problem, where in the pathway the problem lies.
How do you diagnose it? What do they use for a diagnostic? For porphyria.
You could do blood plasma or you could do a urine. Yeah, there's a urine profile. But I think they, you know, you probably need all three, blood, plasma, urine, and possibly even stool sample to determine, you know, the reason for it, which porphyrins or protoporphyrins are high, which ones are low, when you can see where the block is. The other thing is I think some of the people that are particularly susceptible to shedding, the symptoms of shedding sickness, may already have existing problems with their porphyrins, and consequently it doesn't take much to throw a monkey wrench into that pathway. If there's already a logjam in there in creating heme, and now you compound it with spike, you may feel symptoms pretty quickly, more so than somebody that didn't have those deficiencies. People who are toxified with heavy metals, mm-hmm. those often are found in the porphyrins. They're blocking pathways in the porphyrins already. So if you've got a heavy metal toxicity, you're probably going to feel the spike protein sooner than somebody that doesn't have that.
We have a theory that... and everyone may be different on this, but it's possible that each of us has our own threshold. How much spike toxicity can we take from a vaxxed person before our immune system can no longer handle it? Because it will handle it. But if you work with people Monday through Friday in a small office, You're asking for trouble.
You're getting dosed.
And if you break through your level of tolerable exposure, you're going to get real sick. And we think that's what may be making people real sick. Plus, early on, when you're just getting minor exposures, you could be building up a hypersensitivity to the spike early on. Your body knows it's bad.
There's that, too. I mean, people think that having antibodies to this thing is somehow protective. It really isn't. That's the deception. They want you to think, oh, get your antibody levels up. You'll be protected. Uh-uh. We said, you know, Wednesday. When you're creating antibodies to this thing, you may, in fact, the first time around, maybe even the second time around, create antibodies that actually neutralize.
Look at this. Tell me.
The virus or the spike, but because this thing is mutating, the next time around it might be different enough that those antibodies do not succeed in neutralizing it. Instead, they bind to it without neutralizing it, in which case they carry it further into the body, and it goes places that it normally wouldn't go, and induces a highly inflammatory response, and then the immune system starts attacking whatever tissues it has found itself in, and you get a lot of destruction.
So we kind of think that everyone's got a baseline level that they can tolerate without gross, overt reactions. But if you keep pushing and you get above your toxic level that you can handle, you're going to be real. You could go out and shake somebody's hand and just be sickened immediately, within minutes, because your body will react. It's hypersensitized. You'll get inflammation, inflammatory issues. Who knows?
Yeah,
again, we're putting on.
It's a poison.
It's a toxin. Total toxin.
I mean, it destroys blood. When it interacts with the immune system, now, it's a different set of problems. You get an antibody-antigen complex that creates a different type of signaling in the body, which is also not beneficial.
No. See, did you all know how complicated we were as living beings?
No.
You think about it. This is just one little teeny tiny area of the physiology, the biophysiology that Eric is talking about. And we are so damned complicated. And this bioweapon is so damned diverse in its methods of breaking down life. Oh, did they? And if you don't think Tony Fauci and Robert Malone and others like them don't understand exactly precisely how this thing's working, you should think again. Because our money is on the fact that they know all too well how this has all been put together. They're not stupid people.
No. And, to think that people have now been injected with something that causes them to produce this thing.
Oh, up to 30 trillion copies or more. We don't even know. Depends on how long-lived the mRNA is, how it sets up shop, every time you get an injection, you're getting more mRNA. Or if you're real smart, you go out and get the Novavax, which is just straight spike protein. How clever can you get? There's no end to it. The spike protein is the deadliest thing that humankind has ever created in terms of something that can be administered without everyone dropping dead on the spot. It's a bioweapon with a fuse on it, and everybody's fuse is a little different. Once they've destroyed your immune system, the door is open. It's AIDS, and anything can come walking in and take you out.
Yeah, it's the disruptions in the metabolic pathways of the body. There's just no end to it. I mean, this thing, I mean, it's biologically active. It can provoke signaling in many, many different areas of the body, most obviously in the blood. but also the immune system. And if it gets into the brain and it seems to be uniquely capable of crossing the blood-brain barrier and causing problems, yeah, right. and throughout the brain. It doesn't seem to matter. Brain stem, you know, the frontal lobe, you name it. The hypothalamus, for one, there's very clear indications that the hypothalamus is being toxified by this protein as well, which, you know, that's why people likely have this autonomic nervous system disorder, where they can't regulate their heart rate or their temperature, menstrual cycle, circadian rhythm. It's all messed up.
We thought that the spike had to be cleaved to expose the 7 known spots on it that will cause any natural protein to misfold. But now, apparently not. If you just get the S1 portion of the spike protein, it may not have to be cleaved or opened up, so to speak, that these things are there. So you've got these spike proteins being manufactured, or you're getting S1 through shedding, and they're at work already causing misfolding proteins in your body. You don't want misfolded proteins. Now, on a small scale, I guess your immune system, if you still have one, can handle these things, but not on a big scale. And the more shots you get, the bigger the scale gets.
Yeah. I'm not sure if the S1 has those amyloidogenic sequences in it. I think it was the full-length spike protein, and when it was cleaved by this enzyme neutrophil elastase, that's an enzyme that's produced by your white blood cells to degrade this thing. In degrading it, it exposes these amyloidogenic sequences. So if they come into contact with any one of your proteins, it will cause them to misfold. Now, there's another amyloidogenic pathway here because of the heme. And when you don't have enough of this endothelial nitric oxide synthase, ENOS for short, that can cause an amyloid angiopathy, which means throughout your blood vessels you can have the formation of amyloids,
which are misfolded protein fibrils. Little tiny, think of them as little teeny tiny fibers. And they stick together. And they grow into a larger and larger mass of these fibers, beginning to look at some point like a single large clot. In point of fact, that's what they are. And they will grow side to side, top to bottom, to fill out the area in which they have decided to call home, to make a huge clot. We've seen videos of these long clots being pulled out of leg veins of the deceased and so forth. But we have a video that Erica found that I put up under guests, and I think we should stop and take a look at this video.
No, it's really something.
Yeah. All right, well, what this is there's a surgical procedure underway. The chest is cracked. The heart is exposed. You're going to see a patient, obviously anesthetized, with a beating heart, and you're going to see the surgeon open up what we're guessing may be a ventricle, pumping blood into the aorta. I'm not a heart specialist.
It looks like a chamber, one of the chambers of it's a large area.
Yeah, it's maybe a ventricle. Anyway, you're going to see it open up, and you're going to see tweezers, we'll call them, go in there and pull this clot out, and wait until, if you've already seen it, but it's in there under guess. Look under our data, a clotted heart, courtesy of the bioweapon. This is really powerful video. So I'm going to pull it up and run it. There's some chatter. There's some talk. and you'll hear it. So it's a very short video. So let me pull this up, and here we go.
Look at this. Tell me if it looks the same way. So this is something that I got from somewhere.
That's a beating heart.
There's currently a reduced video audio quality due to network conditions. I can't connect to see the stream, mate.
I can see it very clearly.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you able to watch it?
No.
Yes. I'm not John. Okay.
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 Oh, yes. Oh. Yes.
Now, look at this. So we're just making a comparison here.
A lot of some kind? Oh.
So this is coming out of a beating heart, all right?
Okay, there you go. You might want to look at that again and try to imagine living with that in your heart. That's obviously a chamber of the heart pumping. You can see it's muscle. And it is full of this, I'll call it an amyloid clot. It's just immense. And it fits the profile. And then you'll see five of them laid out on a surgical tray. You can see. I don't know if they pull this out of the same patient or not, but you remember over 500 soccer players in Europe have dropped over and died on the playing field or died immediately thereafter this year alone, over 500. That's why they get these things. They're small. At first, it doesn't restrict the blood flow very much. And they grow. And they grow bigger. And then they grow to be side to side, top to bottom, and they fill the chamber, and no blood can pass. And I'm amazed that that, we'll call it a ventricle just for discussion's sake, that valve, that ventricle chamber, could even pulse with something that big in it, as if it were trying to push blood through. How that person was still alive is amazing to me. Whoever it was. That is a staggering video. And that's what's happening to most everyone who has taken these shots. They're building amyloid clots like that in the aorta, in the arteries, in the veins, everywhere, top to bottom in your body. So amyloidosis is 100% death sentence. That's what the spike does.
We have two pathways for that now. We have the sequences on the spike protein that for whatever reason, you know, these sequences generate amyloids. And that's you know, a well-known established fact at this point. It's been shown and reproduced and predicted. So, but now we have this ENOS deficiency because of the heme deficiency or the destruction of the heme. And when you have an ENOS deficiency, you are having the propensity for this type of clotting.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Just incredible. And I don't want to go play this again, no. But I've seen it twice. That's plenty. So share it, think about it, and for all of you who have been injected, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't. I don't know. Except understand your enemy. Always know your enemy. And if something turns up that will take your supplements, minimize, if you possibly can, spike protein production, although I don't know how, again, that would be possible. You've been shot up 3-4 times, 5 times, some people, I guess, huh? Already? 5?
I think some people are heading for 5.
It's just truly staggering, this whole thing. It is so damned efficient and so diverse. The minds, M-I-N-D-S, that put this thing together are inhumanly, almost unimaginably evil. We're not talking about LNPs or the mRNA itself or anything else here. There's just so many facets to it that can concoct ways to destroy life. It's just it's kind of like the ultimate non-instantaneous bioweapon, although there have been cases of people just tiffanied over, it dropped over dead. All right, we have some more things from the general public that came off social media. They're up at the top. You want to do a few?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Misinformation, I think, is number one.
Okay, we can do that.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. There is also the question, if the vaxxed shed spike protein that is imitating a virus protein, then also unvaxxed would develop antigens to the virus, I think she means antibodies, and their bodies would eventually stop reacting to the shedding. It has not happened. To the contrary, the shedding, as it accumulates, makes the symptoms worse. This matches with radiation sickness. Also, with spike protein, the body's reaction would build more gradually and resemble regular flu. Many unvaxxed, however, describe how their body reacts to shedding the same second as they enter in the vicinity of a vaxxed person.
Go ahead.
See, this is what this person doesn't understand is how proteins work, how they interact with the body's immune system. You don't need the whole virus to create the disease. You really only need to engage the immune system or have a protein that's biologically active to create or wreak havoc in metabolic pathways. And that's basically what the spike does. If you get it into you, it interferes with your body's physiology in a variety of ways. It can poison the blood, can poison the brain, it can suppress the immune system. And so there's no immunity to a protein. There's only tolerance to proteins. And the way this spike was designed, it's designed to break tolerance. It's called a super antigen. So it's designed to be allergenic. And so it won't take much for if you get repeated doses of this, there's a very good probability you're going to engage your immune system and then create antibodies against it, which is not going to be helpful. You're going to get a different set of problems when that happens. But it's a catch-22 because the protein itself, by itself, is toxic. And when it's part of an antibody, antigen complex, it's mm-hmm. toxic in a different set of ways. It's a consummate bioweapon.
Evil. Consummate.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So, as I said, the antibodies that you create may, in the future, if you do get exposed to the actual full, intact virus, may act as a Trojan horse and carry it in much past the lungs, right into the bloodstream, and wherever it goes, it goes.
And good luck, and God bless you. What else can you say?
They knew what they were doing.
100%. 100%. You have to remember, we don't know everything about this. We don't know very much about it. We've put this together and connected the dots as well as we can using patterns, anecdotal information, hundreds of peer-reviewed papers that Erica has gone through, countless hours of video watching of various doctors and scientists talking and so forth. We know that the potential is there for this thing to be far worse than we've been able to assess so far.
Yeah, and, there's, I guess, evidence that there's other proteins. They're coding for other proteins in this. I mean, we have the mystery URA-3665, and then the mystery Pfizer protein that's actually bigger than the spike protein in terms of the number of nucleotides. We don't know what it is. It doesn't match up to any known proteins.
Right. And those
you're
are just
manufacturing
two,
it if you get this shot.
Those are just two more things. And there are how many more we don't know. The whole issue of epitopes, of the fact that when the spike causes your proteins to misfold, they in turn go on and cause other proteins to misfold. It's a cascade. You follow?
Well, there's that, and then there's the autoimmune part of it. There's so many homologous epitopes in the spike to human proteins that if you generate antibodies to the spike, you're generating antibodies to your own body.
When she says homologous, meaning virtually identical, close enough.
Yes.
Okay? So that's the trick. That's how they trick it tricks your immune system into attacking your body.
Yep.
Oh, this is really astonishing, this whole thing to cover. It's I've never seen or heard, I couldn't even imagine anything like this.
It's a bioweapon.
It's the perfect bioweapon. And remember, they gave Big Al Burla in Israel their equivalent of their Nobel Prize for his contribution to humankind.
Yeah, outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. But not unexpected.
Not at all. Not at all. All right, partner, great job, as always, and talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
And it's Friday. You have time to prepare, so think about it. Talk to you soon. Have a good weekend, and be well.